The reality is, I have a lot of things I would just love to share with you this afternoon. But again, I'm only going to be able to give you the tip of the iceberg. And some of you have been able to get into your little booklets that we gave you, and some of you have not. And that's understandable because it just happens that way. And sometimes our good intentions just don't get very far. And that's the purpose of this workshop. I think that when the Lord put this together, and Sue and I began talking about it, and she looked at me and she said, "I see a sparkle in your eye." And I, what? I want you to do the workshop. And I think my mouth just dropped because I've never considered myself workshop material by any means, you know, stretch of the imagination. And I think that when I start, this is the book that I read, and it's actually a takeoff on the little booklet that each of you have. This, of course, obviously bigger book and more detail on all of that, but it's called Freedom from Tyranny of the Urgent, written by the same guy. And that's where these little charts came from. But I just think it's really interesting how Dawn has put together her worship list, and Sue has put together her messages, and I have done this workshop, and we didn't communicate at all. And yet the scriptures that have been shared and all of that are just coming together. And that just once again confirms in my heart that God is so gracious to us. And so hopefully you will. I'm not going to stand up here and teach. I'm not. I didn't even bring my Bible. But I hope that when you leave that you'll come away with a little bit of motivation. Because this book certainly motivated me. I thought, too, it was interesting last night that Sue brought out how God determines the times in which we will live. You know, we can sometimes look at ourselves and say, well, I wish I'd have been born 100 years ago, or why do I have to be living, you know, why are we living now, right now in this place and this time when our world is turned upside down and in our country things don't, you know, seem really unsettled and all of that. And yet God has determined that time. But I want to focus this afternoon a little bit on the word time. And first of all, I want to focus first on the fact that our model for all things is Jesus Christ. Is that not true? Amen. Yes, it should be. And in his short life, he lived 33 years, the scripture tells us. And in his short life, he had a purpose. But do you not see that God has created you and I for a purpose? He's created us for a purpose. And we are here in this place and in this time for a purpose. We see in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. His was a life of service and a life of sacrifice. And so I hope that this afternoon that we can kind of think of the things that I'm trying to get across to you and apply it. Look at Jesus' life and look at how you can make application and make it work for you, for what God has given you to do and given you to accomplish. The interesting thing, too, is that last year I was given one of those chronological Bibles for Christmas. And I was just so delighted because I've always wanted to read the scripture in kind of in order just to see. Well, lately I have worked my way to the Gospels, and I've never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, particularly those three, because those are considered the synoptic or otherwise the similar Gospels. So anyway, it's just been kind of cool to see how Jesus was presented many times of things to do. You know, people, not all the time that, you know, people would bring the sick and the lame and the blind. He couldn't heal. He could have, but he chose not to heal everyone. And most of us know the story of how he allowed time to pass in such a way that his dear friend Lazarus passed, right? But he allowed that time to pass and for that event to happen for a purpose, for a godly purpose. And so with that, I want you to recognize that we have to make good, just as Jesus, we want to make good use of our short time, but we also want to have a sense of the right time for action. Because some things done, and I want you to be thinking, things done at the wrong time can sometimes turn out to be not worth doing. Do you know what I'm saying? Or things done at the wrong time, in your timing instead of God's timing, can be things that are harmful. Now think just a minute about what I just said and see if that isn't true. And you see, just as Mary and Martha thought that Jesus' timing was harmful because they had lost their brother, you see how God in his timing made something glorious and wonderful for his purpose and to further his kingdom. So our goal when we consider our time here upon the earth and the fact that we want to get from the east side of the Jordan to the west side of the Jordan and that we have to step out into the water and pass by the Ark of the Covenant, being the Holy Spirit for us, we have to discover God's will for us day by day, but also, ladies, also with each stage of your life. And that is something that when you're young, you don't ever think you're going to get as old as I am, you know, but you do. And you get to this point where my children are grown, they're out of the house, and I'm a grandmother, and I never ever saw myself. How did I get to be this old, you know? But we, you know, the goal is to do that and recognize that when we seek God's will day by day and in each stage. You know, some of you think I'm never gonna not have kids at home, or I'm never gonna have kids, or I mean, we all have our thing where we think it's gonna last forever, and it doesn't. It's a season of your life, but in that season, you have to learn how to claim the land. What are the promises that God's given you? Where are you in your life right now? And it's different for each one of us. We all are different people with different circumstances, different abilities, so on and so on. But again, we want to know what the Holy Spirit, your goal is to find out what does the Holy Spirit desire to do in your life and in mine. And so we're going to talk a little bit about managing our lives. One thing, as I read this book, I read this book 3 times, and I'm going to read it again because I'm recognizing that I've done some things right, and I've done some things wrong, and I've been lazy, and I'm learning, and I'm still in a process, as we all are. But you know what? We hear that word, we hear that phrase, time management. Well, you just, you know. And it's inaccurate. How can anybody manage time? Can you manage the sun going up and going down? You cannot. Time is going to pass in spite of anything you do. But what we need to do is we need to manage ourselves. We need to manage ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the key. Not managing your time. It's going to the Lord Jesus and finding out what he wants you to do. Okay? So the other thing is that, you know, when you get in a time management thing, and I haven't actually, like, taken classes, but I'm, like I said this morning, I like books, and so I bought a lot of books, and you know, we're always trying to reorganize and all of that stuff. And some of you, I mean, I know at least three people here that to me are where I want to be, you know. Maybe they don't see themselves that way, but they seem to have it there, you know, for some reason. But the word that we look at with time management is the word efficient. You know, it's like, you know, we have things like the computer that are supposed to be labor, you know, you type thing, you da 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 da. We have our cell phones. They're supposed to be for our convenience. Do you sometimes wonder if that's true? How many of you will go home tomorrow afternoon and find like 20 emails in your box, in your inbox, or more? You know, what I'm trying to get you to see is that we live in an age where we have electric mixers, and we have microwaves, and we have all this stuff that other people in other times didn't have. But do you see that the promise hasn't been fulfilled, has it? When we buy something to save us time, work expands to fill the time available. That is something that happens by nature, ladies. If you have something that saves you time, guess what? That time gets filled up. And what we want to do is hopefully with some of these charts and some of the things I pray that the Lord will bring to my mind that I can relate to you so that you can begin the process of turning the ship. Those of you that have read your little book know that there's a little analogy in that book about a speedboat and how they get out on the water and they, you know, they woo, and they're pulling a skier and they can turn on a dime. But if you're on an ocean liner, you can't do that. And we are our lives are like that ocean liner. All you have to do is make little adjustments so that your life will change, you know. It's a little bit like trying to lose weight. If you try to just go on a starvation diet, you might lose the weight, but you gain it right back because our bodies have a need for food, you know, and so we fall right back into the same thing. So make little adjustments, and I'm going to hopefully help you with that. But we want to look, too, that we have something, we have the effective, we want to be effective, we want to be efficient, but the goal really is to be effective. Because being efficient kind of puts the emphasis on the work that we do, like our mixers and our computers can be very helpful. But is it helpful to you if you go to check your email and pretty soon you find yourself on Facebook and an hour and a half later you haven't even checked your email? Is that being effective? I don't think so, and it's not even efficient. So we can take some of those things that are meant to be good in our lives and they can rob us of the very focus that the Lord would have you be on, okay? So, you know, efficiency is awesome and wonderful if it helps you accomplish your goal. But if it distracts you and robs you of your goal, is that good? I mean, is that what you want? Because you get to choose. It's not, you know, true effectiveness is not a matter of doing things right. Okay? I'm not here to judge you or tell you what to do, but I want you to realize that it's not, you know, it's not about doing it a right way, but it's about doing the right things. Do the right things. The things that God set apart for you to do. Now, in those little books, it's going to talk to you a little bit about, and Sue has gone over a little bit, about there's things in our lives that are important and urgent, okay? And those are things, you know, Maybe you can think of some. They're high priority things. You know, they're things that need immediate attention, and they have to have action right then. And those might be stuff like, you know, a crisis that comes along, those unexpected things in your life, or a major problem that comes your way, you know, a deadline that, is all of a sudden in front of you that you have to take care of. Then there's those things that are important, but they're not urgent. You know, for me, like this summer, when I was going through this, I had a real soul search in here, because I had things that for me were high priority, but they didn't really require immediate action. So guess what? They didn't get done. Like wash my windows. Who wants to do that? You know, but some other things that are that might fall into that category are, the reason they were important for me is because I hadn't done it for 3 years. And that's embarrassing, but it's true. And, you know, but some of the examples might be, you know, to sit back and revise your goals. We're in a constant state of flux and change. And because we're flesh and blood, and we have others around us, you know, it's a living and breathing organism. And so you have to learn to be a little bit flexible in that. But some of the other things that might fall into that category are relationships. And that's really where we're going to focus, you know. But I also want to bring your attention to the fact that we have a lot of things in our lives that aren't important. They're not really important. And yet they come in under the guise, they kind of sneak in and make us think that, you know, there is urgency, and it conjures up this idea, this illusion in your head that I got to get this done, and I got to do it now, and I have to be the one to do it. And, you know, sometimes that can be phone calls. Sometimes it can be unexpected visitors. And it can come in the form of other people requesting your time. You know, what I'm saying is that there are ways that you can find yourself, if you're not looking for it, you can find yourself spending hours of time trying to meet somebody else's expectation that God didn't have you in mind to fill. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes or no? You know, but on the other side of that, when somebody comes and requests your time or needs something from you, sorry, you know, when we say stuff like, well, I don't have time. What you're really saying is, I don't consider that as important as something else I need to do or want to do. And so we need to kind of think about that too and face that instead of saying, because we all have the same amount of time, don't we? So anyway, what we're going to do is the first step, we're going to talk about four steps, and the first step, and we're not necessarily going to do it here because the essence of time. We don't have the time. But I want to kind of just go through this because those of you that, for whom God, you know, speaks, you're gonna want to do this. But one of the healthiest things I did is I went through this sheet here helps you identify your priorities. And this isn't something necessarily, this isn't to be done with your cabin mate or, you know, your husband or your best friend or whatever, because you want God to be speaking to you about your priorities. And you know what? Sometimes you might fill this out and then later look at it and honestly look at it and say, that's all messed up. And you'll have to start over. And I know that because I had to start over. You know, and that I really, really, really please, if you don't hear anything else, remember that I'm not suggesting that you you know, prioritize the activities on your schedule. Okay? What I'm trying to get across to you is you need to schedule your predetermined priorities. Do you see the difference? Because you can sit down and list all your priorities, but those might be things that you really haven't taken to the Lord. And so when you write it down, that's why I'm saying this, that when I first did this, I had to go back and redo it because I had to start asking myself the questions. Is this really necessary? Is this really a priority? Am I the one that you have called to do this or to minister to this person or whatever? And so anyway, that's one thing that, you know, that you need to do. And if you do this today or tomorrow or next week, don't include your job. If you work outside the home, something like that, don't conclude your job because it's going to be added in anyway. But what you want to do is include your personal relationships. Really examine who are the important people in my life. Who's important to me? And what claim do they have on my time? You know, and some of us, in addition to just personal relationships, you have things in your community that you're involved in. Some of you might be involved in, like, you know, the pregnancy resource centers and stuff like that, or in your neighborhood. You might be involved in school activities and things like that. And so you have to, and church activities, and you have to list those down here. But don't forget to list things like your hobbies, things that you do enjoy, and recreation and exercise, and for heaven's sake, solitude. Some of us don't like to be alone, but you know what? If something's always talking in our ear, and if there's always noise, we can't hear what God has to say to us. So as you do some of these things, seek to look at your whole life, not just the little narrow thing, but look at different components of your life that the Lord has put in front of you. Now, this on the back side of this, when you look at that, you're going to look and say, well, what activities need higher priority? And I found some things in my life that definitely need higher priority. And I hope that I can implement. But again, it's going to be a small, I'm going to take little baby steps because I want it to stick. And so anyway, if you're inclined to do stuff like this, then I hope that helps you. The other step is when you take an inventory. And that's what this is. And I know these little boxes are little tiny ones, but that's what they provided in this book. And the idea behind it is that, you know, it's in half an hour increments. And some of us might say, well, that's too close together and that's too far apart or whatever. But that's what they felt was necessary. And I got to tell you that I botched this even worse. Because you know what you do? You say, okay, well, from let's see, I got up at 6:30. And from 6:30 to 7:30, I made the bed, and I took a shower, and I washed my hair, and I blew my hair dry, and I went in and had breakfast. But then when you start realizing that even bigger blocks of time, you're saying stuff like, well, I cleaned the kitchen. But you know what else you do? You answer the phone, and you spend 40 minutes talking to that person, and then the doorbell rang, and someone wanted to come in and give you some literature that you didn't really want. And then the UPS guy stops and he chats, and then pretty soon you go out because you haven't checked the mail, and then you're outside and you see some weeds and you start pulling those. I'm serious. And I went through that, and all of a sudden I realized that's not what they want. I went outside and I pulled the weeds. And I wound up spending an hour out there. And then on and on it goes. And you will actually, it's really revealing. Your current reality is probably not what you think it is. Really? It's really interesting. So when you, if and when you do that little chart, really, really be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and see, because, and maybe your given week will be, and you know, different than your normal week. I don't know. But anyway, the idea is to go through that and note the activities that center on people and relationships. A couple years ago, I had an experience in California, and my son and his family lived down there, and they took me to a birthday party, in Southern California. A child's first birthday is a huge, big, big deal. Big deal. And they have big parties. I don't understand it, but they spend all kinds of money. And we got in the car and took a little trip over to a suburb, and it was a Filipino family. And my point in telling you this story is that I really, you know, I see that different cultures approach the subject of time differently. But the cool thing that I was able to see there is that this family had opened their home to, there was probably at least 80 people there. And they had probably spent $3,000-$4,000 easy on this birthday party for their child. But the whole thing wasn't even about the child, even though it was a party. It was about the guests. And we waited. They had this lavish spread of food, just exotic things that you can't even imagine. I've never met a more gracious family to a total stranger who wasn't really even invited, you know. But the thing that I noticed is that we waited until the grandparents came, because really they were the, you know, it was about them. And we didn't start the food or anything until all the people that were expected were there. Now, in our culture, we don't do that. Or we sometimes delay things, but we have to get started, you know. But it is a different thing. And so we want to make sure that that God brings wisdom to our specific situation. But we also want to be able to weigh the thing. Let's say that you've got to go visit a friend, or you feel the need. Okay, someone's sick, and maybe they're in the hospital or something. Now, are you logically, could you maybe stop in on your lunch hour and just stop in for like 20 minutes? Take you 5 minutes to park and get up there and visit for 10 minutes and then get back in your car. Sometimes that's all is needed to be effective. Remember, we're not looking for efficiency necessarily, but that would also be efficient, wouldn't it? In some cases, that 10-minute touch of somebody saying, I care about you, is enough. But now, is 20 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, is that enough if you have a friend who maybe is facing major surgery and she's at home, and or she's facing a divorce or some, you know, a death in the family or something like that? A little pop in to say, I care about you, that long isn't very effective, is it? And so we have to go to God for wisdom to be able to discern what is necessary here. And ladies, you can even transfer that into stuff like, how often do I make an excuse that I don't have time to clean the bathroom? But you know what? If I would just keep some Windex in the bathroom, I could squirt the mirror when it's been splattered with, you know, and be like that. How long did that take? I'm efficient and effective. And so let's, you know, begin to transform your lives, because we need to, you know, we all have spiritual work that God intends for us to do. But we live in our bodies and we live in our homes, and we have a daily grind that can rob us of so much of our clock that we're too tired and worn out and drained to offer up anything to the Lord. And that's what we're trying to, that's what we need to do, is make that ocean liner move in the right direction. In other words, to get out into the Jordan, but to continue walking. Don't just stop out there and get helpless. And I got to tell you that as you get older, sometimes you start not sleeping as well, and all of the things that go on with your body. And sometimes you wake up and in the morning and you think, what am I going to do today? You find yourself kind of staring at the wall, you know. And it's so nice to be able to go to God and ask him what he has planned for you, and how wonderful that is. Okay, the third thing, after you've prioritized and looked at the predetermined priorities that you have, you take the inventory, and then you budget the time. Now, when you look at that, you might look at something and say, oh, man, I didn't know I spent so much time at the computer. Oh, dear, I didn't know that I waste a lot of time on the phone talking about nothing, just stuff, you know, the weather. Maybe you spend a lot of time watching TV or movies or stuff like that. And you think that it's kind of harmless, but when you write all that down and really are honest, you might be shocked at the fact that your budget isn't what it should be. Because we want to have something to give back to the one who has given so much to us. And sometimes that doesn't mean what we do for him. It means having a relationship with him. Sitting at his feet and being quiet before him so that you can hear him. And if you have trouble hearing from him, this book is so cool too, because it's so practical. It's got all these practical ideas and motivations to do these things. But the other thing is it's got a couple chapters in here on hearing the word of God. And there's a chapter on praying the scriptures. I mean, there's some super practical things to help you get across to the promised land, to go claim what God has for you. But it's going to take time. And that's the difference, is that in time management, they give you a list of things. Well, if you just do this and this and this and this, everything's going to be wonderful. And you should have all the time in the world. And that's a big fat lie. It requires going to God and finding out what he wants. We have to make time for reading God's word and fellowshipping with his people, and you that have come up to retreat, you know, you hopefully sought the Lord in that and recognized that this was a priority for you. You felt him calling and drawing you here to come away with him. And he desires that from you on a daily basis, day by day, to seek out the will of God in every time of life. And the other thing that's so cool about just going through this is that we can start to evaluate what's the difference between time that's special to me and time that's just time, you know, ordinary time, or time to my, you know, work or my dishes or my food preparation or whatever. And that's kind of, to me, that was valuable. This material also kind of helps you to learn the art of saying no. Some of you already know that. Some of you immediately, when someone comes up to you and says, would you teach Sunday school for me this week? I have to be gone. Would you teach Sunday school? Some of you will go, well, let me pray about it. And some of you might say, no. I mean, immediately, you'll say no. And maybe that's what you're supposed to say. And some of you will say yes immediately. Excuse me. But why not resist the temptation for immediate response. When somebody comes up to you with something unexpected, whether it's pleasurable to you or not, whether it's a challenge to you or not, you know, resist that urge. I know that when I was first married, I don't think this happens so much now, but when I was first married, oh my goodness, I can remember people knocking on my door in our apartment and coming in and trying to, you know, they'd pressure you, like let's say, I'll just use encyclopedias as a, you know, which we don't even use them anymore, but educational books. And, you know, there was this one, these volumes of three, and they were great books. And, you know, they show you all the benefits and how wonderful they are and yada-da-da-da. But they need an answer from you today. Have you ever gone shopping for something and felt like you were getting pressured today? Like shopping for a car? Well, today, I have a bargain just for you. Well, you know what? If you can't think about it and pray about it, consider it and come away from it and consider it, you're setting yourself up. And so you need to pray about it first. Again, predetermined priorities. Predetermined priorities. That gives you time to check with your family, figure out what's going on, your appointment book, all that stuff. And then if, you know, when you do come to a conclusion, which hopefully is quickly, you have the courtesy to get back to someone, the person that approached you, whatever it is. Just say, I changed my mind, or I'm not going to buy the car, or yes, I will teach Sunday school. I'd love to teach Sunday school. It's just because some of us act out of habit or we're compulsive. And one thing I just wanted to ask some of you is just in, if you consider the use of time and the use of money, how are they the same? Okay. You never have enough? Right. And the problem with it is that when you're checking out of a store, we all have succumbed to impulse, have we not? I mean, from time to time, we do have impulses. And we can get caught up with a lot of different things. You know, we can get caught up with people, with, you know, doing something with a relationship. And a lot of time, and sometimes when that happens, when the dust settles from it, we can discover that all those things that we thought were important that day are undone. Do you know what I mean? Are you there? But the thing too is that in making changes in your life, it isn't critical that it happens occasionally. It's not a big deal. I guess what I'm saying is that you don't want to try to, you know, if you're going to the Lord to have him prioritize your life and he allows a certain thing that at that time, see, maybe that's one of those things that's important and urgent. Maybe that person who came into your life really needed you for that time. And so you can't beat yourself up because you didn't get something else accomplished. It just means that you have to move it up to the list as soon as you can, if it's important and it's urgent. And that's what's so neat about really thinking about this stuff, because I have a tendency to just go through my life and whatever. One other thing that is really something that many of you schedule and many of us do not, and I'm one that does not. We forgot what leisure is. And as I reviewed this book, I realized that, I type up the schedules and stuff, and I noticed on here from this afternoon we have free time. Well, there isn't anything such thing as free time. It's not free time. It's leisure. It's whatever you choose to do. And yet the Bible doesn't say anything about leisure, but it says a lot about rest. And so sometimes we can take our leisure time and be so busy that we're not at rest and we're not at peace, and we come away from it being exhausted rather than blessed and filled and encouraged. And that's not what God intended. Today we call that recreation, but it's not like the fun and game type recreation. The word actually means recreate. So if you think of your downtime as being recreated by the Lord, that kind of energizes me and helps me to know that my leisure needs to be used for something that encourages me and blesses me and really keeps me at rest and helps my mind get right. And maybe for the first time in my life, I understand that, because I've never been one that says, okay, next June, the first 2 weeks in June, we're going on vacation. Never done that in my entire life, ever. And I appreciate people that can do that and have the lifestyle that they can do that and get it written down, and then they hold to that. But by the same token, why not transfer? If you're one of those that gets to do that, how about moving that same philosophy over into your time spent with God and make an appointment? Schedule him. If you made an appointment to go to the doctor, would you stiff the doctor by just not showing up or calling? See, we make appointments and we keep them. Please keep your appointment with the one that loves you and that wants to direct your ship and give you hope and give you a blessing by serving him and doing the things that he has created us to do. I love the fact that, we can schedule time with the Lord and for ourselves, and it relieves the pressure of life. And if you ignore that recreation of yourself and you ignore God's word by allowing it to speak to you, and I don't mean just on Sunday, but as a habit of life so that you can know where your ship is going, it just relieves all the pressure of life. It does. Seriously does. And I also love the fact that we have said it, and maybe we can say it together. We've talked about Ephesians 2, verse 10, for 24 hours now. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And why would you want to do anything less than what he's already prepared for you to do? So in closing, I'm going to read a little bit, just a little tiny paragraph out of this book. It says, prayerful waiting on God is indispensable to effective service. Here, we learn the truth about God, ourselves, and the tasks he wants us to undertake. Christians who are too busy to stop, take spiritual inventory, and receive their assignments from God may be productive. We may work day and night to achieve much that seems significant to ourselves and to others, but we do not complete the work God has for us to do. The Apostle James assures us, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all. God has given each of us a unique combination of ability, strength, and opportunity. Will he not also give us the insight and power to use our time effectively for his glory? Nothing substitutes for knowing that on this day, at this hour, in this place, we are doing the will of our Father in heaven. Only then, like our Lord on the night before his death, will be able to say amidst many unfinished tasks, I have completed the work you gave me to do. See, Jesus was able to say that because he was worthy, because he had done what God had given him to do. And when we do that, we can look forward to seeing our Lord and hearing him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."